So can start off. So after the whole story with the three guests who are really malachim, telling about the birth of Yitzchak, they left. They went to Sodom. Abraham olich imam l'shalcham. Abraham was being malav of them. V'Hashem amar ha-mechaseh ani me'Abraham asher ani yoseh. Can I hide from Abraham what my plans are to destroy Sodom? V'Abraham hayo yeh l'goy gadol v'atzum. He's going to be this tremendous nation. V'nibruchu bo kol goy ha'aretz. All the nations will be blessed through him. Okay, and this is the pasuk we want to focus on. Ki yidativ. Because I was yidativ. L'man asher yitzaveh esponah b'es beso acharav. He's going to command his household, his children and their household. V'shamru derech Hashem. They're going to watch the way of Hashem. Lasos tzaka u'mishpatu, tzaka to righteousness. Leman havi Hashem al Avraham eis asher diver elav. In order that Hashem will bring upon Abraham what he promised him, what he told him to do. Okay, but we want to focus at the first words of this pasuk. So it says ki yedativ. What does it mean? How could I not tell Abraham what I'm going to do to Sodom? Ki yedativ. What does it mean ki yedativ? Just translating the words like very literally, because I've known him, because I knew him, I know him. What does it mean? So says the Ramban, first he quotes Rashi, ki yedativ l'man asher yitzaveh, loshon Rashi, or he's really quoting the uncles. Rashi is quoting the uncle. Ramban is quoting Rashi, he's quoting the uncles. Ari yedatina kidarguma. What does that mean? Because I know him. Lashon chiba. Okay, what does this lashon mean? Where does Rashi end? Does anybody remember what Rashi's lashon? No, okay, whatever. I'm not going to spend time looking up now. Lashon chiba, that this is a. What does it mean that Hashem knows Abraham? Hashem loves Abraham. How could I hide it from him? I love him, right? I don't want to, I guess, cause him any tzar when he finds out afterwards from the fact that I didn't tell him beforehand. I don't know. You have to figure out exactly what the pasuk is supposed to be meaning. Kemo mudali ishah. Then in Rus, I think it talks about that Naomi had somebody who was somebody close to her deceased husband. So mudali. Elisha, meaning somebody beloved, somebody close. I knew you. I forget the exact context. Oh, okay, period. So what does it mean? How could I hide from Avram? I know him. I love him. Omnam ikir kulam lashon yidia. But really, the pshat, even when you say you love somebody, and you say, and using a lashon of I know him, which means I love him, it still really means I know him. Meaning somehow there's this overlap between having an understanding of somebody and loving them. Somebody who loves somebody wants to get to know him. Meaning they have this certain. There's a lot to talk about here about love, but we're not going in that direction at all. We're going to follow what the Ramban is going to say in the Pshat. But it's interesting what to discuss here in this Rashi, the Pshat of Rashi, right? Somebody who loves somebody brings him close to him, and he wants to understand him. He wants to know all about him. So there's overlap between loving somebody and knowing somebody. You'll do a makiro. This part was a little bit difficult for me to understand what he meant. If you want to translate it literally, just that I know him. Well, what does Pasuk say? I know Avraham. That he will teach his children to follow my path. If you just say Yodea means I know him, I know that he will command his children to follow in my path. So he's this righteous person. How could I hide my plans from him? The Laman doesn't really work. It should be what does it mean? I know that Laman, he will, whatever. If you look back, well, Benachas, you'll see what the Ramban is saying is correct. It doesn't really fit in so simply. Maybe it means I made him very prominent. I gave him a lot of kavod, a lot of wealth, a lot of prominence in society. In order that he's going to teach his that's what the man would be doing. In order he's going to teach his children to follow me, so people will respect him and want to follow in his path. I made him prominent. People will respect him and want to follow in his ways. I made him such a prominent, large nation, so people will end up through him coming to serve me. All these things mean prominence. I knew him, meaning I commanded him. Okay, I commanded him that he should teach his children. Oh, whatever, you have to play around with it. But all this is not what the Ramban wants to say, so I'm not going to focus on it. Says the Ramban, this is now a very, very Yisodistic Ramban. It's not so much like a Musar Ramban. It's just like a general Hashkafic Ramban. And this will almost be a I forget my English is going after so many years of being here, but it's a plug. That's what I'm going for. It's a plug for Leibowitz's Sefer, right? Of Hashgacha Pratis. Because has anybody read Leibowitz's Sefer? Hashgacha Pratis? I shouldn't have asked that. That's awkward. Yeah. No, but it's very good Sefer. But the Ramban and the Rambam features very prominently as one approach in Hashgacha Pratis, not the only approach. If you want to find out more, read the book. Okay. What does it mean? It means I know him. What does it mean I know him? It means I know him. What does that mean, says Ramban? Yirmoz, it's hinting to the idea, ki yedias Hashem, shehi hashgachaso ba'olam hashafe. What does it mean Hashem knows somebody? Hashem knows somebody means he's focusing on that person. What does it mean he's focusing on? It means he has hashkacha on him. What does it mean he has hashkacha? That means he's looking out for what's happening to them. He's walking into the street and there's a bus coming. I'm going to all of a sudden, all of a sudden make some noise behind him so he turns around and sees what it is. And hashkacha means that Hashem's looking out for somebody and guiding them. Okay? He lishmor haklalim. In general, the idea of hashkacha Hashem means he guides things along in this lower world in a general sense. What does it mean in a general sense? I think it means that Hashem wants to make sure that is there enough rain for that season? Is there overpopulation in a certain part of the world? We have to try to figure out how things are going to run properly. Oh no, there's animals who are overrunning this city. We have to make sure that there's going to be some other way to get them away from there. In some sort of general sense, Hashem runs the world that's going to be run properly. V'gam b'nei ha'adam munachim bo limikrim. In that perspective, people, it's a little bit surprising maybe, people also, things happen, there's nature, things will happen to them. Meaning, limikrim means like mikre, like it wasn't necessarily what needed to have happened to them. It happened because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, the right place at the right time, things happened. Ad ba es pekudasam, until the time comes that Hashem should remember them. Either literally means the time when they're supposed to leave this world, Hashem will take them from the world, or it means a certain time where for some reason Hashem has to intervene. But in general, people, again, I don't know what we were educated in elementary school, high school, says the Ramban will say this explicitly, says the Ramban that things happen, there's a certain idea called nature. Hashem put order into the world. Hashem put a certain thing that if you have this kind of mixture of hot air and cold air, I'm no meteorologist, so I'm making something up totally, it's just what I seem to recall, there could be the winds and there'll be a hurricane, and it could be Rahman al-Azlan, the person didn't get out of the way because there were warnings and he decided not to leave, so he's gonna die, or he's gonna get injured, or his stuff's gonna get destroyed. Is that because Dafka, if not for the hurricane, there would have been something else that would have destroyed his property? No, says the Rabbi, not necessarily. Obviously Hashem's gonna figure out at the end with the tally up what's happened to him. Is it fair? Is it not fair? Is Char Onesh? Hashem's gonna work it all out. But the idea that there's nature and things sometimes happen to people, That's an idea, says the Ramban. Aval, however, the chasidov, the righteous, the tzaddikim, yasum elav libo ladas oso bifrat. Hashem focuses on him in a specific way, not in a general sense. Lios shmiraso dveka bo tamid. They should always be guarding him. Lo tipared hayidia vazchira imanukla. He will never leave that person. Kitam lo yigareb mi tzadik einav. Hashem will never take his eyes away from a tzadik. Ubo mize psukim rabim. And many similar psukim can receive. Hine ein Hashem el yireav. Hashem's eye is upon those who fear him. Vizulase, and psukim besides this. So says the Ramban, what's the pasuk saying? I have a certain closeness with Hashem. Sorry, that doesn't make any sense. Hashem said, I have a certain closeness with Avraham Avinu. I know him. I have a shkach on him. And I'm aware that he's the kind of person whose job it is, and I'm helping him out to arrange that he's going to be in that position to tell his children and tell the entire world what it means to serve me. So since he's that person who's in that role, I have to now tell him about Sodom. But yadad, it means I have hashkacha pratis over Avraham Avinu. That's what I know him it means. But the implication of that, says the Ramban, is that Hashem does not know everybody equally. Hashem doesn't have hashkacha over everybody equally. Only for the tzaddikim is there this constant, very precise hashkacha pratis. I mean, what does hashkacha pratis mean? It's as opposed to hashkacha klalis. The entire universe has hashkacha klalis. Hashem is guiding in a general sense. But the idea that as an individual, a person will have hashkacha pratis, that depends on one's level of avodas Hashem. Just the Ramban says it very succinctly in this other Ramban that I quoted here right afterwards. Vida, this is another topic about miracles, which is for a different time, but he just mentions it here. Vida ki hanisim lo yasu letova o lera. Hashem will only do a miracle, meaning something which is beyond the regular rules of nature, only for somebody, arak tzadikim gemurim or l'risham gemurim, only for a tzadik gamur or for a rasha gamur. This idea of tzadik gamur and rasha gamur, I think, are actually very, very different. For rasha gamur, it's because Hashem, there's hashkacha that a person has to be punished. Okay, it's an event. I have to punish this person. And for a tzadik, it's just, that's the way of life. He's always connected with Hashem. Everything he does, if it's a big thing, if it's a little thing, Hashem will always be orchestrating the world to do good for him and to watch him and protect him and do what's supposed to be the best for the person. I think that's my understanding. For Russia, it's more of just like a one-time thing. I got to punish him. So that's a special hashgacha pratis for a punishment. But for a tzaddik, it's more of a constant. That's just his way of life. It's always with Hashem, and Hashem's always guiding him. Okay, this is the Ramban, and there's more to discuss of the Ramban. A shout out to Shua and Yuda, whatever, guys, from last year, they gave me a sefer called Yadav Emuna, which is a sefer by Rav Chaim. I forget, the name's escaping me, but when I was in Shalvin many years ago, he was in Kolo, and he put out the sefer on Hashkafa based on the Ramban. I think also many of them, or some of it at least, is based on Rav Moshe Shapira. That's where Rav Waxman was close to Rosh Shapira, as he quoted him. Okay, yeah. Anyway, so I was looking there, and he quotes other Rambans, which actually explicitly, I think the Ramban on Eov somewhere or another. Ramban has a whole discussion about Eov, where he quotes the Rambam, and he references the Rambam, which we're about to see, and he says, the Rambam says good things here. Meaning, don't think the Ramban is always quoting the Rambam to argue with him. Here he actually, he likes the Rambam. So what does the Rambam say? The Rambam in the guide and the Morin Nebuchim. My opinion, what would be my opinion? First, in the context of this Morin Nebuchim, the Rambam is quoting four or five different approaches to Hashgacha Pratis. Hashem has no Hashgacha Pratis. He does, but only for certain things. For other things, he quotes Aristotle. Okay, he has all sorts of approaches to Hashgacha Pratis. Or Hashgacha Pratis, which we might think of as more of a Hasidic approach, but he quotes it as a Muslim approach. The idea, which we'll see later on, it's Hashem. There's Hashgacha Pratis for every blade of grass, every leaf that falls off of a tree, every single thing that everything is orchestrated by Hashem. So he says, those are all interesting, but they're not correct. Here's the correct approach, is the Rambam. My opinion on this principle of divine providence, I will now explain to you. Okay, what's Hashgacha Pratis? In the principle which I now proceed to expound, I do not rely on demonstrative proof. It's interesting. He's saying, I don't have a clear-cut mathematical, logical proof for what I'm about to say. So what's my svara based on? What's my opinion based on? But in my conception of the spirit of the divine law, I'm telling you, I've learned a lot of Torah. It's just so interesting because I was looking at this yesterday, Shabbos afternoon. I was looking at my sheet. I was looking, I was preparing. I'd prepared before. I was looking at it. The Rambam Mor Nebuchim. And then I went to Mincha on Shabbos afternoon. And in my suit pocket, I have like a little Kati Mishnah. So they got the thing. At the end, it's some like complicated Mishnah in Taharos, whatever, about somebody who eats two different types of things, which are both Safek Tamei. And it's like, is it? But the Rambam reads the Mishnah differently. It's the same Rambam. It's unbelievable. The Rambam who's Baki Bekola Torah Kula knew everything inside and out. In terms of it's unbelievable. It's the same Rambam as the Mor Nebuchim. You don't have that many people like that. Okay. So the principle, okay, my conception of the spirit of the divine law and the writings of the prophets. What I'm saying is based on my understanding of Kola Torah Kula, says Rambam. The principle which I accept is far less open to objections and is more reasonable than the opinions mentioned before. Meaning everything I've said before doesn't make that much sense. This does. It is this. In the lower or subluminary portion of the universe, meaning the below the moon, meaning in our world, divine providence does not extend to the individual members of species except in the case of mankind. There's no idea of Hashgacha Pratis for a dog, Hashgacha Pratis for a whale, Hashgacha Pratis for a tree, only for humans. It's only in this species that the incidents in the existence of the individual beings, their good and evil fortunes, are the result of justice in accordance with the world's words for all his ways are judgment. Only in regards to people will we have a Hashgacha Pratis to reward, to punish, to make sure things don't happen that are unfair. But I agree with Aristotle as regards all other living beings, and a fortiori kal v'chomer as regards plants and all the rest of earthly creatures. When Aristotle said there's no hashgacha pratis, I do agree with him in regards to animals, in a kal v'chomer to plants, to rocks. For I do not believe that it's through the interference of divine providence that a certain leaf drops from a tree. After this, he's getting onto a certain, he has this very interesting chat, which I don't know if you have to go all the way with the Rambam on this one, but he says that ad kedei kach, there's no such thing as hashgacha pratis. For example, let's say there's a storm in the sea. Storms are natural. Storms happen. It happens to be at that time there's a boat in the ocean where the storm's happening. So I would have thought Hashgacha Pratis is almost like the pashas of the story of Yonah, that Hashem will orchestrate the storm depending on, and the boat will sink or not sink depending on Hashgacha Pratis, the people in the boat. But the Rambam says, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that the boat will sink or not sink depending on nature. Will this one guy miraculously find some piece of timber to bring him to the shore and he'll survive? That's Hashgacha Pratis. It can't be Hashgacha Pratis on a boat, right? Is it Hashgacha Pratis for the people in the boat, but not the boat itself, which is interesting. I feel like you could have said this idea, but saying Hashgacha Pratis for the people kind of kind of go, you know, expands to the things that they're in. But let's see, we'll read it very quickly. Maybe by mere chance, a ship goes down with all her contents, as in the above mentioned instance, or the roof of a house falls upon those within. But it's not due to chance, according to our view, that in the one instance the men went into the ship or remained in the house in the other instance. It is due to the will of God, in accordance with the justice of his judgments, the method of which our mind is incapable of understanding. Okay, so he says, no, the ship, there'll be storms, there'll be ships will sink or not sink, depending on the teva, but whether or not the guy will have gone in or not go in or be saved, that will depend on shkacha pratis. And then he just says, and the Ramban also says the same exact idea. Look at the guide 318, but then after the three dots. Okay, he says first what the Ramban was saying: the bigger tzaddik you are, the more shkacha pratis you have. In the same proportion as ignorant and disobedient persons are deficient in that divine influence, their condition is inferior and their rank equal to that of irrational beings, and they are like unto the beasts. Says the Ramban, if somebody is a rasha or not even a rasha, somebody is a person who does not deserve special hashkacha pratis, he's basically like an animal. Legabe hashkacha pratis. What does that mean? There's general hashkacha pratis. He's not like dissing these people. He's saying that's the mitzvahs. That animals have general hashkacha pratis. People who are not tzaddikim have general hashkacha pratis. And tzaddikim have very specific hashkacha pratis. Okay. It is all one approach. Unfortunately, we don't have time to really develop all this very well, but just, there is absolutely another approach, sometimes based on this famous medrash and medrash rabba. In source number 3, Amar of Simon, Ein lecha kol esev ve'esev. You don't have any blade of grass. She'ein lo mazal barakia shemakeosa, which does not have this heavenly force in the heavens that hits it. Omer lo gadel. Now it's time for you to grow. Not yet. Not later. Right now. Hachudichsev hayadata chuko shemaim im tasim mishtarto ba'aretz. Hashem knows the rules of the heavens. He places his control over the earth. Lashon shoter, meaning there's an officer in charge of each thing in the universe. Okay, etc., etc. So that Shari Emuna, I don't know much about this farm of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but he said, apparently it's a sefer called Shari Emuna, which it seemed to me when I was reading it, it's more like likutim of what the Rebbe said about different topics. I don't think it was written by him himself, but I might be wrong. So he has here, I don't know if the Baal Shem Tov, a lot of his Torah is Torah Shabbal Peh, meaning it wasn't written down by him, so I don't know where this is written down originally, but it certainly is a Hasidish idea according to many Hasidish perspectives. But it says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, source number 4, Inin Hashkacha Pratis Shemavar Morinu Habesh, right? The Baal Shem Tov explains to those who levad the kol pirte tnuos hanivran liminem him hashkacha pratis me'aboris barach. Not only is every single movement that all the creatures in the universe have is based on Hashem's hashkacha, but hashkacha pratis haluzu he chius hanivra v'kiyumo. Not only that, but that means that's Hashem's presence in that thing. That's its life. There's this equation between Hashem's connection with something and his hashkacha, which the Ramban agrees to. But he says therefore Hashem is connected with everything intimately, and therefore has hashkacha pratis intimately over everything. And also, each individual movement is going to influence the general purpose of creations. How could it be? There's not going to be a shkacha pratis in every, right? The wings of a butterfly who flap here are going to make a tornado there, whatever. It's like everything is interconnected. So everything has to have a shkacha pratis. Right? The movement of one specific blade of grass is going to perfect Hashem's purpose for the universe, and therefore everything has a shkacha pratis. It's all purposeful. It's all being guided. And the Rebbe says here, this is against what the Rishonim say until the Besht, but okay, that's the approach of the Baal Shem Tov. Two very different approaches. Again, you want to know more, read Rav Leibowitz's book. But as a takeaway, what do we see from here? To me, La'anias Daiti, as a suggestion, it seems like the more Hasidish approach is because their perspective is they're looking at the nature of the universe. The nature of the universe, at least from their perspective, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the nature of the universe. It's all Him. It's all His presence. How could you have a Hava? I mean, Hashem does not care about this blade of grass. It's all Him. Everything is Ribono Shel Olam. So how could He not be guiding it? It says it pretty explicitly. So how could there not be a Shachar Pratis for everything? Which is a beautiful idea. What to think about that? We should try to get to the level where we appreciate everything is really in essence Hashem, whatever that means exactly. But according to the Ramban and according to the Rambam, it's a different perspective. They're looking at it not from there's a piece in Nefesh HaChaim where he says it's true. Everything is Hashem. Everything is Ribono Shel Olam. Everything is Chelek Elokam Imal. But Hashem hides it in different levels. We don't experience it the same way for everything. So the Ramban is talking about how we experience things. It's that it's not true. If you want to be close to Hashem, if you want to have Hashkacha Pratis, it's something you have to earn. It's something you have to gain. How are you going to gain that? By being close to Him. It's not something which happens automatically. If somebody thinks it's going to happen automatically, he's never going to attain it. So says the Ramban, It's not even like a reward. It's not even something which you're supposed to get to. Once you're a tzaddik, you'll also have a shchacha pratis. It's exactly the same thing. What is a shchacha pratis? It means you have a deep, intimate connection with Hashem. And obviously, once you have that connection, Hashem will guide you and protect you and do miracles for you. So shabbi zochet, whichever perspective we connect with more, to always work on our avodas Hashem to get to that level of shchacha pratis l'kol adeos. Okay, I've got it.